Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 23. Our theme for 2020.
Are we ready, Brother Ben? Nice. All right. Our theme for 2020 is focused. Ah, nice. All right. Yes, I did a play on the 2020 thing. I get it. All right. But I wasn't going to be as 20, there's so many ways you could have went. But much prayer. Let's try to seek the Lord on that. But we're going to talk about being focused this year. And preach on a lot of things. I'll go over this when I pass out the calendar. But every month, we'll cover different areas that we as believers should be focused upon. Because it's very easy to get focused on the wrong things living in this world. Especially in this day in which we live in, there's so much going on. There's so much at our fingertips. There's so much. We're so busy that it's very easy to get focused on the wrong things. So we're going to revisit what the Bible says to focus on. That's why our verse for this month is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, because our eyes, number one, need to be focused on the Savior. And we'll talk about that this month, and along with other things coming up in the year. But I wanted to visit this passage of Scripture because our verse for the year, kind of our theme verse for the year as a whole, is verse number 25. If you want to look at it, Proverbs 4, it says, "Let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee." Now, the idea there is being focused and guarding where your eyes, because it's easy to get distracted. So we have to be very careful. Now, our text is going to be found in the verses above and the verses below this. But we're going to look this year. We looked last year on God's blueprint for the church. We kind of stepped back. We didn't preach through a book in the Bible. We kind of looked back on, how the Word of God teaches for what the church is and the autonomy of the church. We looked at the polity of the church. We looked at different things about the local church and why we do what we do. And having that foundation laid, it's a good time this year to now look at things that we should be focused upon. Because I believe as never before, we are, and I'm not being funny there, but we are getting very close to the return of the Lord. And I don't know when that is. I don't know whether that's this minute or in the next 10, 15, 20, 100 years. I do not know. I do know this, though, that we need to be ready for that. We need to be actively preparing ourselves for the return of the Lord. So there's certain things we should be focused on. And a couple weeks ago, on Thursday night, we talked about Matthew chapter number 6. And I just passed it by as we were preaching, but the Bible warned about having an evil eye. And we discussed that a little bit. Now, the Bible says that our eye should be single in Matthew chapter number 6. And what that means is it's focused. It's set on what it should be. And not to have an evil eye, which is a blurred vision, or your eyes kind of distracted going this way and that way and never focused on any certain thing. And then it goes on, and we discovered in Luke on the parallel passage that how that what the Lord's full teaching on that is this. That's where we get the kids' song, about your light, this little light of mine, and hide it under a bushel. And the next word is, oh, come on, you knew that, all right? Let your inner kid come out, all right? Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine, right? But the whole teaching of that is it happens, your light is hid when you allow your eyes to become distracted. So we as a church, it's good to make sure that eye is single, that eye is focused on the things that God said, because we as a church can get so distracted. Because there's a lot going on. I mean, we could just talk about politics for the next 3 hours and get everybody mad, right? But there's a lot going on that's easy to get distracted on. A lot of things we'd like to do, and a lot of things that are good, but if they're not what God said to focus on, our light can be hid. And the whole point of a church is to be a candlestick and to be a light to this world. So it's important that we stay focused. It's important that we keep our eyes on where we should be. So in this passage of Scripture, the verses that we'll read tonight, Solomon kind of gives instructions on how to live a focused life. So I want to start out this year by studying this. If you're able to, let's stand in respect to the Word of God. And we'll read Proverbs chapter number 4, starting in verse number 23, and we'll go down to chapter number 5 a little ways. But in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 23, the writing says this, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. My son, attend unto my wisdom. Bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge." Let's pray. Father, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you just please help us tonight as we look at the scripture you've given us. I pray that you teach us, and Lord, instruct us. And Lord, as we prayed this morning, open our eyes that we would behold wondrous things out of thy law. Lord, as the psalmist said, "Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." May that be our heart, may that be our attitude, our spirit tonight. Teach us your word tonight. And Lord, help us to realize how to live a focused life this year. And in Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you, and be seated. Let's look at this real quick tonight, and I do want to pass out the calendar and go over that. But follow along with me, starting in verse number 23. Solomon's going to give us some instructions on how to live a focused life. And part of that this year, and I'm going to bug you a lot about it this year, but when you come to church, come to learn this year. Come to listen this year. And I want to encourage you, take some notes this year. I'm not asking you to do anything I do not do. And I'm not talking about when I preach. Obviously, I have notes. But anytime I ever listen to anyone else preach, I keep the notes, all right? Not because I'm going to repeat their sermons, all right? Don't think I've done that at all. But I have, flipping through here, Pastor Zdarsky, then Brother Salee, Riley Barrett, missionary, Brother Randy, Brother Josh Fryman, when we were up at Fairhaven, Pastor Dameron, Brother Ramos, then our missionary that was here just a few weeks ago. I got Brother Salee down at Hope, Brother Tyler, when he preached on redemption. We're out at Brother Robert's church. I took notes there. And then Brother Alexander preached just recently, the day that Jesus spoiled Satan. I write down the notes. You know why? Because it keeps me focused. It helps me because I am a wicked person. I'm just telling you. And a little newsflash, so are you. All right? It doesn't take much to distract us. I'm not making fun of you. I respect you if you can sit in the back of this auditorium and pay attention, because I can't, all right? I can't, because when I sit in the back, I am such a people watcher. I get so distracted. I just can't do it. You say, you sit in the front because you're spiritual. Nope, because I'm weak, I guess, all right? I can't. I start staring at things and the little kid that looks over the edge of the pew, I'm the person that wants to go, hey. You know, that's just the way I am. I can't. Or when someone goes to the bathroom, I watch them, and then I, wonder, did they go to the bathroom? Did they leave? Are they coming back? Are they just thirsty? Is someone sick? My mind just begins to go that way, all right? That's the way I go. And so I have to sit in the front. So if you can do that, that's awesome, but you really need to take notes, all right? You got to stay focused because, as I said this morning, and y'all amened it this morning, but now I'm talking about taking notes, you might not. But when I said this morning, this is God's means of communicating to us is through preaching. Now, obviously, we read the Word of God, we have a walk ourselves, but God has chosen preaching to be a means to communicate to us His Word. And so we ought to be focused on learning something. So I want to encourage you to do that this year. And so all of you that don't have a pen, please stand. No, I'm kidding. All right? No, all right? But try to bring that, all right? And be ready for that, okay? But let's do this tonight. Let's look at this, all right? And if you didn't bring a pen, that's okay. It is being recorded. You can go back and listen to the entire thing, right? Amen. All right, good, all right? So let's look at this real quick, right? Won't take long. Follow along. Number one, Solomon said if we're going to live a focused life, number one, verse number 23, we need a clean heart. We need a clean heart. Verse number 23 says this, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." If we're going to live a focused life, it's obvious, and Solomon starts with this, but our heart needs to be right. Our heart needs to be right with God. As you enter a new year, 2020, the Holy Spirit will answer this question in every one of our hearts tonight. But is your heart right with God? Would you stand up and testify tonight that I know my heart's right with God? If we're going to live a focused life, our heart, it begins with the heart. We'll talk about the eyes, we'll talk about the ears, we'll talk about, you know, our life and our feet, but the fact is this, if our heart isn't right, none of these things are going to matter. If our heart doesn't desire to seek the Lord, I've given an illustration before, but Sir Walter Raleigh, little sea dog that he was, Queen Elizabeth, she commissioned him, and they had a relationship where they worked together, and he was very honorable in serving her. But when she died, James I became the king, and he didn't like Sir Walter Raleigh, and he ordered that his head be chopped off. And the executioner, having a lot of sympathy for Sir Walter Raleigh, knowing his life of obedience to the queen, begged him and said, "Sir, would you please make sure that your head is situated just in such a way so that this is a swift action?" Sir Walter Raleigh sat up and looked at him and said, "Sir, doesn't matter if your head's right, as long as your heart's right." And he was right. Is your heart right tonight? I'm not asking you, do you know a lot of Bible? I'm not asking you, do you are involved in ministries? I know you are. Is your heart right? I'm not asking you, teenagers, if you're obeying the rules. I'm asking, is your heart right? I'm not asking my Sunday school class if you love coming to church. I'm asking, is your heart right? The Bible said in this verse, keep thy heart with all diligence. I wrote down three thoughts about the heart underneath this point. Number one, your heart needs to be cleansed. Your heart needs to be cleansed. There's only one thing that can cleanse a dirty, rotten heart, and that's the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this year I start with the most important thing I can start with. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior? And if not tonight, if you know your heart has not been cleansed by the blood of the Lord, why don't you get saved tonight? Even to the point where I would say, stand up right now, come forward. Someone will take you to the back, to the front. They'll talk to you tonight, but don't neglect so great a salvation. Number one, the heart needs to be cleansed. Number two, I see this in this verse, that the heart needs to be controlled. It needs to be controlled. Again, the verse says, verse 23, keep thy heart. You have a job to do with your heart. Your heart is out there, and it's not just, just to do whatever. The Bible says here, and this is not the only passage of Scripture, it's repeated in many different places, to keep your heart. The word keep, the best idea I can give you there, we just got through Christmas season. What were the shepherds doing out in the fields that night? Keeping watch over their flock by night, all right? But they were keeping them. What does that mean? To guard them, to protect them, to watch over. If anything was going to get to those sheep, they were going to go and stand in the way. If those sheep needed nourishment, they were going to make sure they got the nourishment they needed. They were taking responsibility for those sheep. And in the same context, we are to keep our hearts. So understand that. We have a responsibility. Number one, it needs to be cleansed. But then you and I that are saved tonight, we need to control our heart. We need to watch over our heart. We need to protect our heart. We need to keep our heart, to nourish our heart. We got to do everything we can to protect it. Because the devil wants to steal it. He cannot have your soul. Once saved, always saved. All the people said, amen. But the devil can take the heart of a believer and make you miserable. The epistles say that you can be held at his will, the devil. If you allow yourself to be entangled in this world, you can allow yourself to become so obsessed with wrong things that even as a Christian, you become defeated, you become demoralized, you become feeling useless, you become depressed, and you allow your heart, which should be filled with joy and assurance and peace, to be robbed of all those things because you did not keep your heart. The armor of God in Ephesians chapter number 6, it gives us all the armor that we're supposed to have, but there is something there to protect the heart. What is that? The breastplate. The breastplate of what? Righteousness. You know how you protect your heart? You live a righteous life. Now, obviously, you're going to need to sit and think about that because only Jake and a few others amen that, all right? But if you're going to keep your heart, do you understand it tonight? The Bible says to keep your heart, protect your heart. Are you with me? So how do you protect your heart? You live a righteous life. You got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. You got to live and be known in your testimony, be one of living a righteous life. What I am saying is this, that if you go out and you play with the world and you act like the world and you talk like the world and you just love their entertainment and get filled yourself with your life with all that junk and all the cursing and all the mocking and just laugh at it and you fill your heart with it, you're not keeping your heart. And your heart's going to become polluted, distracted, deceived, depressed. Pretty soon you wonder, how did I get here? And now look at me. It starts with the simple thing as listening to the wrong music. You begin to open the door to your heart. It begins by looking at that website one time. It begins by sitting down to the gossip one time. And pretty soon your heart is given over to these things. And pretty soon your life is given over. There's nothing wrong with living in this world. God put us here. But he put us here to be a light. There's nothing wrong with enjoying, you know, we have beautiful lakes and streams because God likes us to fish. That's his chosen people, his first 12. That's, all right? They love the fish, all right? That's the only meat we know he sat down and ate. Other than he did eat lamb occasionally. But fish, man. There's nothing wrong with enjoying, you know, what God gives us. There's nothing wrong with enjoying, you know, just because it's out there. You know, there's ice skating. Well, the world goes ice skating. I shouldn't go ice skating. Number one, ice skating is ridiculous. But if you like it, that's great, all right? There's nothing wrong with it. Wonderful. You like to go hiking. That's weird, but do it. All right? I'm just kidding. It's fun. I enjoy it too. Right? Yes. As long as you're flat, uphill. Right? But that's great. You want to ride a roller coaster? Go for it. But you can't allow yourself to get so engrossed in all these things that you lose focus of what is right. You become distracted. Nothing wrong if you want to, you know, watch a good show. Great. Now, But if you're watching 17 hours of television every day, there's something wrong. You can't go a day without turning it on and filling your head. It controls you. There's something wrong. When you get used to all the cussing and cursing and you don't think a thing about it, let me tell you what's going on. Your heart being polluted. And it shows by your lack of interest in spiritual things. When spiritual things don't interest you anymore, you don't have time to read your Bible and church becomes a bore, sermons are just tiresome, your heart is getting filled with the wrong things. And we have an obligation to control our heart. You see it in the verse. It says, keep your heart. And the way to keep a heart is by living a holy life. The breastplate of righteousness. The heart needs to be cleansed. It needs to be controlled. And number three, the heart corresponds. And what does it correspond? What are you talking about? Luke chapter number 6, and verse number 45. If you want to glance at it with me, I'll read it real quick. Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 45. Brother Slee, can you read a verse for me? Proverbs chapter 24. Just be there for a second, in a second. Let's all look at Luke chapter 6, Proverbs 24, Brother Slee. But Luke chapter number 6 and verse number 45 says this. We'll go back to verse 44. Luke 6, 44. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. Why is it so important to keep your heart? Because you are going to live according to what you put into your heart. That's what it says. What you put into that heart is what's going to come out of your life. If your words are always rebellious, your words are always arrogant, your words are blasphemous, if your words are dirty, your words are constantly the wrong kind of words, it's because 100% of the time, that's what you've put in your heart. I'll amen it, because that's what the Bible says. It's what you've put in. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The whole context of this verse, you can tell by looking at someone by their fruit, where the roots go. You can tell what kind of tree they are. You see, the heart corresponds with the life. And that's why it's important as we enter this year and we want to live a focused life, that it all starts with our heart being right. And if your heart's not right tonight, then get that right. If it needs to be saved, then be saved tonight. If it's drifted off in sin or you've been filling it with the wrong things, then cleanse your heart tonight. Because clean hands and a clean heart are always associated together. Listen to the verse, Brother Slee, if you can read Proverbs 24, verse 3 and 4. Listen for the connection. Verse 4. Is that Proverbs 24? Psalm. That's a good verse, though, Brother Slee. But let's read Psalm. There's a reason we have a guest from Indiana. She needed that verse, all right? But Psalm chapter 24, verse number 3. Sorry. Clean hands and a pure heart. They always go together. There's a reason why Solomon here in this passage of Scripture said if you're going to live a focused life, that number one, you got to keep your heart. Because if you don't keep your heart, you're going to get dirty hands. If you don't keep your heart, you're going to get a dirty mind. If you don't keep your heart, your life's going to get filled with a bunch of junk. So it starts, number one, with a clean heart. Back in our text, number two. We're going to live a focused life. It takes a clean heart. Number two in verse number 24, a cautious mouth. Verse 24 says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. A cautious mouth. You'll notice the verse there. I think it teaches a couple things. Number one, I think your mouth is restrainable. You can control it. It says in verse 24, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. I don't care who you are, you have the ability to guard your words. You have the ability to speak right. And a cautious mouth is one that is, understand, it's restrainable. And number two, the mouth is serviceable. The book of James talks about the mouth, that there is much power in the mouth. Your words can be used for one of two reasons: to edify, to build up, or to destroy. Every one of us in this room in 2020, your words, and listen to me, not one word is an idle word. Every word we speak, God knows. So we have to guard our words in our mouth. And if we're going to live a focused life, it starts with a clean heart, and then we have to have a cautious mouth and understand, because some people just say, it just comes out. I didn't mean to say it. It's just... Well, half of that is true. You know why it came out? Because it's what the heart was full of. But the more you get your heart right, the more you'll be able to control your mouth. The mouth is controllable. The mouth is going to be very serviceable. You're going to use it for one of two reasons, to build people up or to destroy them. So be careful this year. I'm not going to preach on these things. Don't worry, we're going to hurry. But don't gossip. Don't gossip. There's an issue. Go to the people. Someone gossips to you, the best way to end it is to say, here, you come with me, we'll go to that person and see what's going on. I promise, either that person will get right or they're going to quit gossiping to you. Say, well, this person's really in trouble. Then help them. Talk to someone who can do something about it. But standing around criticizing and tearing down corrupt communication, wicked words, careful how you use your mouth this year. Because every word is judgeable. The Lord made it clear in Matthew chapter number 12. I can read this to you real quick. If you want to jot the verse down. Matthew chapter number 12, verse 36 and 37. Matthew 12 and verse 36 and 37 says this, "But I say unto you," Jesus said, "that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Pretty powerful passage. But all the words that we allow in 2020, we're going to give an account for one day. So there may be a bride I just taught in my Sunday school class on being kind. And I told them, there's some people it's hard to get along with. There are some people who you and their personality are not going to jive. There's two people like that at the nursing home, isn't there? You went down there. That was Tuesday night. Was awesome, right? Yeah, they do not like each other. And I had to give Brother Slee that look while I was preaching. That one look that says, get over there right now. Something bad's about to happen. So he hopped up. Literally, one person had their hand back ready to slap the other. It was awesome. He stopped. And my lesson the night was on loving each other. It was so great, right? That was great. Talked about that new commandment God gave us. But all started because they were running their mouth. And, you know, I told my Sunday school class about it. It was humorous to watch. But it's no different. It goes on everywhere. You could be sitting in this pew right now, completely right with everyone, and you say the wrong thing. And you can destroy your relationship and even a church. Guard your mouth. We have to have a clean heart. We have to have a cautious mouth. Number three, we have to have a controlled eye. Verse number 25, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. I see a couple things about the eye in this passage of Scripture. That number one, we can get distracted. We can get distracted. By God's grace this year, we're going to focus on the things that the Bible tells us to focus on. Maybe our eye become more single and looking a certain direction. Because it's so easy to get distracted by things that don't matter. And there's some things that just don't matter. You know, I'm looking right now. If you have a Christmas card and a Christmas card box, try to stop by if you haven't got it. I gave some young men the job of passing those out. But maybe you don't like the Christmas card box. I think everyone likes it. If you don't, control your mouth. All right? But, you know, it's sitting back there, right? Maybe that's something, you know, and don't get so upset. I'm going to leave the church over Christmas. I know a church. I just talked to the pastor this week that this guy caused a huge problem, and they're having the church discipline over a Christmas thing. Because the guy said, and he's been threatening, like threatening people. It's crazy, isn't it? True, isn't it? It's sad. It don't matter. But things like that, who cares? You know what that kind of stuff always comes down to? The color of the wall, whatever. One word, ready? Pride. Let's focus on the things that are important. Let's focus on souls this year. Let's focus on our walk with God. Let's focus on the commission. Let's focus on our Savior. Let's focus on our marriage. Let's focus on things that are really matter. The Bible says here we need a controlled eye. And I see in this verse that our eyes can get distracted. Mine can, yours can. We can get on problems. We can get on storms. We can get it on money. We can get it on all kinds of different things that if we allow ourselves, lust, perversions, coveting, our eyes can lead us to great problems. Everyone knows the story of Achan in the Bible. It all started because he saw it. Then his thoughts consumed him. So we have to be careful not to become distracted, because the eye number two is very descriptive. You can just jot down this passage of scripture, but in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 22, the light of the body is in the eyes. In other words, your eyes say a lot about you. I remember sitting, I was a senior in high school, and I was sitting in the parking lot at another high school. My dad was a youth pastor at that time, and we were sitting there, and we were watching teenagers walk out. And I knew the teens from the side, because I just knew them. He didn't. But he sat there, and he watched. He goes, tell me how close I am. And he started describing these teenagers' lives, having never met them. He's like, that person's extremely rebellious. That person has a problem at home. Doesn't feel loved. And I was just like, because it was kind of scary, to be honest. It's like, Dad. I was like, that's kind of weird, Dad. I said, how did you notice things? He goes, their eyes. And he taught me things. And he based it off the Word of God. He said, eyes say a lot. And you know that too. There's been times you've walked in and seen somebody and looked in their eyes and you knew immediately. There's times I've walked in the auditorium and eyes meet with someone and I know I need to go sit and talk to them. There's sometimes people have come in my presence and seen my eyes and just want to encourage me. Because your eyes say a lot. I'm not going to spend a long time because I got to close, but when you're preaching, when you're singing, when anything spiritual is going on, when people mention certain subjects, the eyes begin to speak. They begin to speak. Jesus said it, the light of the body's in the eyes. And your eyes begin to share what's in the heart. So we have to be very careful to control our eyes, because our eyes can get distracted, and they're very descriptive, but we can direct them. It says again in that verse, let thine eyes look right on. You can control where you set your eyes. Our theme for this month is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We have the ability to focus on what we want to focus upon. So we're going to need a clean heart and a cautious mouth, controlled eyes. Number 4, verse 26 and 27, a careful foot. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. I see a couple things about our feet here and having careful feet. Number 1, we need to have a planned walk. A planned walk. See what it says in verse 26? First words, what? Ponder. What's that mean? Think about it. Where are you heading this year? Where are you heading this year? I hope tonight you'll just stop for a second with me tonight and ponder the path of your feet tonight. Where are you heading tonight, this year? What's your goals? And, you know, yes, we ought to have goals in our home, you know, maybe physical things, maybe fixing something up, saving some money, that's great. But I'm focused tonight on the spiritual things, because that's the most important. What's your goal spiritually this year? Because if you don't ponder the path of your feet, if you don't plan where you're going, you can get turned around pretty quick. You don't have direction. If you don't have some goals spiritually, and I'm talking beyond, you know, I want to read my Bible through in a year. That's great. That's wonderful. I've never been a huge proponent of that, because I'm more focused on I want to hear something from God. So if I read a verse that day and get stuck on that verse and God speaks to me, because I've seen people to get so focused on reading their Bible through, they never have time to listen to God. So I'm just cautious with that. But if you don't want to do that, great. Just don't quit listening as you're reading. Do you have a goal spiritually? How many souls are you going to pray for this year? I would say most of our families have already set some financial goals for our homes, and that's great. I bet we all have some things we'd like to get fixed up this year. You know, maybe some new shutters or paint the walls, or I forget what else my wife told me I needed to do this year, right? But, you know, we all have those things, I'm sure. But spiritually, have you stopped, and how many souls are you praying for this year? Where would you like to see yourself spiritually come this time next year? Where would you like that Sunday school class to be? How about your kids? Have you pondered the path of your feet? We need a planned walk, and then you see a perfect walk in verse number 27. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. A perfect walk. In other words, have a planned walk, desire to go somewhere, have a perfect walk. There's some things you need to do. There's some places, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. There's some places that you should go. And there's some places you shouldn't go. Because part of that perfect walk, there's also a protected walk. It says, remove thy foot from evil. Be careful. We used to sing a song when I was a kid, be careful little feet where you go. I don't know if y'all sang that. But your Father up above, looking down in love, be careful little feet where you go. Ponder. Have a careful foot. Have a plan for yourself spiritually this year. And lastly, and I'm done, number 5, have a consecrated ear. Chapter 5, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Notice he says there in verse number 1, attend unto my wisdom. You know what he says? Listen. Listen. I wrote down 3 thoughts underneath this and these 2 verses, and then we'll be done. Number 1, I believe Solomon says about the ear here. Number 1, pay attention. He says in verse number 1, my son, attend unto my wisdom. You know what? One spiritual goal that I placed in my life is this year to pay attention more than I ever before when I'm sitting under preaching and teaching. In my daily time with God, pay attention. When someone tries to help me, to listen. Solomon says, son, and Solomon loved his son. And I think we know from the word of God that Solomon saw his son was heading the wrong direction. And Solomon said, son, please, please listen. Listen to me. Pay attention. And then I see, secondly, with the ear, that there must be personal submission. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. What does that mean, bow thine ear to my understanding? If you know, we'll say Brother Randy back there, if he were to walk up here and I bowed down in front of Brother Randy, what would I be doing? Many times we'll say to bow our heads or bow the knee. What are we doing? We're submitting. We're showing reverence. We're showing respect here. We're placing ourselves under that authority. And what the verse is saying here is that we need to pay attention. The ear needs to listen. A lot of us, we all have this issue. We talk more than we listen. We want to be heard more than we want to hear. And Solomon says, son, pay attention and then submit to my understanding. I guarantee there were some things that his son Rehoboam didn't understand. And Solomon knew that, because there's some things you're going to get over time. There's some things you're going to learn as time goes. But he said, son, in the meantime, listen to what I have to say and trust me. I have some understanding. I know what I'm doing. I'm not just someone trying to push you a certain direction. I'm not just someone trying to make your life miserable. I have a purpose. Trust me. And when God begins to speak to you this year, anytime anyone gets up here and opens this book, man, may our hearts be attentive, may we be listening, and may we be submissive to the authority of God's word. And there may be some things, young people, there may be some things that you just don't quite understand why mom and dad are doing it that way, or you just don't understand why Brother Price has that rule, or you just don't understand why Pastor Berg makes us do it this way. There may, not just young people, maybe us adults too, but listen, there's nothing wrong with asking questions, there's nothing wrong with seeking wisdom, but there comes times that you just have to say, all right, they've preached it from the Word of God, until I get this understanding, I'm going to bow down. I'm not saying worship people. You get what I'm saying. Solomon didn't say bow down to me. Bow down to my what? Understanding. Understanding. In other words, we know why we're doing this. There's a reason. There's certain things that we don't do. And I, you know, people all the time are just like, you know, certain things like, you're the only pastor that does it that way. Okay. It really never offended me. Because these things that we do, I have a Bible reason for it. Well, what? There's reasons. There's reasons for certain things. Because it's experience. We know where it heads. Certain places I don't go. Certain things I don't do. Why not? There's understanding there. So he says, pay attention, personal submission. Verse number 2, it leads to a prosperous situation. That thou mayest regard, here's a good word, ready? When we listen to wisdom and we submit to understanding, we learn something really important. Discretion. You know what discretion is? Discretion is not even maybe knowing why, but you just know that you should or shouldn't do something. That there's a time and there's a time not to. Discretion. Discretion is learning the ability to make wise decisions. Some of you young people are struggling making wise decisions because you're not attending to knowledge and you won't bow down to understanding. You don't want to listen and you're too stubborn to change. Not just young people. When we have the Spirit in us, we lose discretion. And instead of making wise decisions, we begin to make foolish decisions. And it goes back in that thy lips may keep knowledge. You can one day share how to live a focused life with your children. Solomon gives us some simple instructions how to live a focused life. It's going to take a clean heart this year. It's going to take a cautious mouth, a controlled eye, careful foot, and a consecrated ear. None of that is easy for me. And none of that's easy for you. If it was easy, we wouldn't have instruction in the Bible that we need to do it. Because none of these things come naturally. Let's endeavor to be focused this year. Father, I pray.